morning, everybody. Good morning. We have one announcement this morning.
I just wanted to let folks know, and it went out this week in the, I think, an email blast, but we will be having a repeat of the appreciative inquiry session for the folks that missed it. If you wish to come, this is a repeat of the first one. So if you went to the first one, you do not need to come to this. It is, I believe, the 27th of this month, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a brown bag dinner. Just bring your own dinner. I had one or two folks who had emailed me and said, well, why don't, can you just send out the paperwork everybody filled out so we can fill it out? The problem with that is that this is a fairly complex process that requires feedback. So you'd be missing out on half the process, and we wouldn't really be able to process your stuff well. It's just too complex to do if you're just writing it out, because if you get off target, your data is unusable. So please, if you did not come to the first one and you still want your voice to be heard, come to the second one. Again, 6 to 9, we're going to condense it by doing it just a little faster. Brown bag dinner. Everybody who did not come to the first one is welcome. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Welcome to this day. Welcome to this time. Welcome to this place. Let this day be free from strife and fear. Let only joy and love come near to us. Let blessings be given and received, and walk in peace in your words and your deeds. Come, let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
May the light of our chalice illuminate the beauty of the changing year and lead us to view it with wonder and joy. Please rise in body and spirit and rise and join me in singing our first hymn, This Pretty Planet. And I think Michelle has some instructions for us. Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. And that song was so beautiful. It spoke so highly of that. It was a pleasure to sit up here and to listen to all of you. Thank you. My name is Laura Levenhagen, and I'm the worship associate for today's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop at the welcome table, and you'll find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out our webpage at lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. Please take a moment at this time to silence any electronics you brought with you today. And again, thank you. We are so pleased that you have chosen our church to worship in this morning.
We have a special performance for you here this morning, a skit by Megan Fetters and the LCUUC Stewardship Players. And with no further ado, Megan.
Okay, well, while my players are assembling, just wanted to remind everyone you should have received your packet in the mail this week about our stewardship campaign. If you have any questions about anything in there, feel free to approach myself or Mark Brewer with questions via email or in social hall. Remember that pledges are due April 15th, nice due date that you can't forget. And I guess that's it. Real special thanks to Claire for putting up some of the artwork to track our stewardship progress. I don't see her. There she is. And to all of my actors who agreed to be in the skit. So, thank you.
Remember when we started this journey on star date 2264.01? Peace, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the USS Starship Enterprise Unitarian Universalist Church of the Galaxy. Our 5-year mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man
or a woman
has gone before, and to live out our 7 principles. Well, regardless, it has been more than 15 years, and we, the crew and the officers of USS Starship Enterprise Unitarian Universalist Church of the Galaxy, need to support our explorations for another year. We can continue to be your spiritual guide, but we need to move to the next galaxy, but we need your help.
You know, he could help us out a bit by abbreviating the name of the place.
As I was saying, we at USSSEUUCG need your support. We have a goal of raising $220,000 Earth dollars. We need each crew member, each friend we make on each planet to visit to help us continue this mission. Even with declining fuel prices, we need to pay the staff and to support our officers, and pay for heating and cooling, and to support our community. You may begin sending in your pledges at your convenience.
But Captain, remember last year, well, we were
at USSSEUUCG. We are flexible. We'll take your money when you want, how you want, in whatever quantity you want to give it to. We'll even take it in whatever currency is convenient for you. Just bring it in. Scotty will be serving as our treasurer since he took all that math in engineering school.
A financial engineering nightmare.
Beam me up, Scotty. Here you go. I'm willing to sacrifice this sheep for our cause. Remember our visit to the primitive planet of Organia? I brought it there, and I've been caring for it ever since. It should bring a good amount when you auction it off. Or we could just eat it.
Thank you for your pledge.
Sir, how are we supposed to account for this?
Scotty, don't be ungrateful. We can figure it out. We'll sell the wool for cash flow, and we can feed it to our guests at Family Promise for Easter dinner.
Okay, next.
Bring me up, Scotty.
currency. They're quite valuable and quite heavy.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Captain, I don't think we can accept this. Well, we'll have to store it somewhere. And you know our quarters and social deck are full of RE supplies. Plus, think of the extra fuel to haul it around the Daft Galaxy. The Green Ship Committee won't like that.
Beam me up, Scotty. Here is this month's contribution. I'm not quite sure how much is here, but it sure seems to be a lot. I collected it from between the chairs on the bridge. We know these uniforms have shallow pockets. I thought I would crawl around the bridge and collect every day, then bring it in at the end of the month. Of course, my knees aren't quite what they used to be. This might be a challenge.
Wonderful, thank you.
But, Captain, how will we manage our cash flow without knowing month to month how much is coming in? This is as bad as passing the collection plate.
We'll just pay our bills late once in a while. No big deal.
Beat me up, Scotty. Well, as you know, I've been quite successful and happy to help out wherever I can. I've got the Starship supply business, and it's been pretty good to me. But I have to wait to see what my capital gains bill is going to be.
Capital gains?
Well, you see, if my stocks do well, I'm going to have to pay a lot of taxes, and I'll make my pledge before December 31st. But if they don't do well, I'm going to have to wait until April 1st and see what my tax bill is, and maybe I'll have a refund to be able to do it then. It's hard to plan when you just don't know. That's the best that we do.
I give up. How do we budget when we don't know what the market or the Federation is going to do? We have to know how much people can give. It's fine. We can live with this.
Fascinating. All the crew members are making their pledges in a way that is inconvenient for them and for you.
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
It simply isn't logical. Logic dictates that each party in an economic transaction should do what is most beneficial to them. Furthermore, it is logical to try to minimize transaction costs when two parties exchange money.
Get to the point, Spock.
Well, I've been researching a new way to pledge. Simple way, which requires minimal effort for all involved, saving time and energy for our more important pursuits.
Tell us more about it.
There's a massive network of cable which wires the galaxy together in a giant web of communication. This interweb, as it is called one day, may even reach out into other galaxies through the use of satellite communications. Through it, people can painlessly automate the transfer of money.
Amazing! How can we take advantage of this?
Captain! This is what I was trying to tell you. During our last commercial break, I programmed a little gadget on the USSSEUUCG website.
Fascinating. It looks like crew members can schedule automatic withdrawals from their bank account, saving the crew time, effort, and the cost of checks, envelopes, and stamps. Furthermore, they can schedule it to withdraw on whatever day they want, like right after payday.
Spock, you've done it again.
Hey, I programmed a blasted thing.
Yes, Scotty, but I've noticed that humans need more than just emotion to change their behavior. Logic, Scotty, always prevails.
I know. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Thank you so much to our players and members of the Starship. Oh, dear God, I can't remember all those initials. We're going to sing the children out in just a moment. If anyone has brought food to donate to a local food pantry, if the children can bring it forward and just put it in the basket as we sing them out. Can I have all the children come forward, please? And I need my lantern bearer. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. If you all could help me in singing the children to their classrooms, the words are for the song, You Shall Go Out, are in your order of service. The local church had a picnic and invited the entire community to come. The pastor placed a basket full of apples at one end of the table, but being unsure of the nature of all the visitors, added a rather cold-blooded sign which said, "Please take only one apple. Remember that God is watching you." At the other end of the table was a large plate of cookies. After seeing the unwelcoming sign on the apples and thinking about it for a moment, a visiting UU child grabbed a piece of paper and added their own sign to the cookies. It said, "Attention, take all of the cookies you want. God is busy watching the apples." I don't think God is monitoring the apples or the collection plates, so we're just going to have to watch them ourselves. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share together our joys and our sorrows. And we do this in several ways. Before the service, you're always welcome to come forward and to light a candle on the candle table in silence. And during the service, we speak aloud and we light candles together. Would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, it's Brian, and I got the candle of remembrance to a great writer who passed away this week, Sir Terry Pratchett, who some of you may know and some of you may not. And also the memory of Leonard Nimoy. Thank you.
I do know Terry Pratchett. Brian, because of you, and I saw the quote on the front of the order of service today, and that started the tears, and my heart is so full to be here. My name is Susan, and I lived here 7 months ago. We moved away, and this will always be my home, and I'm just feasting my eyes on all of you beautiful people. It's great to be here. You do wonderful things. Thank you.
This is John. It's been probably a couple months since I've seen most of you, mostly due to fatigue from my daughter, who is about a month ago, or maybe it was two now, that she's about to be an older sister. So, joy and concern for more lack of sleep.
I'm Amy. Just a candle. Please light a candle for a man named Chuck Hoffman. In our house, he was affectionately known as Chuck the Car Guy. He is a resident of Sussex and passed away recently unexpectedly. And he was a great supporter of community in the Sussex area.
Hi, I'm Eric. Candle for my mother, who spent a good part of a day this week in the emergency room. She was tested for absolutely everything and came out just fine, but it's not clear why she collapsed. So, just a candle.
Lent, a candle of concern for my nephew Alex, who's struggling with addiction.
I'd like to light a candle of concern for the people of Northern Kentucky and Greater Cincinnati, where they are having quite a bit of flooding this morning. So as the water is beginning to go over their roads, please hold them in your hearts. I'd like to light another candle of concern for the congregation of the First Universalist Church, Southold, New York, UU. The church was built in 1860. They had just finished restoring their pipe organ 3 weeks ago, had laid new flooring, and they awoke this morning to find they had burned to the ground. Luckily, the couple who were living in the parsonage did escape without any loss of life or personal damage, but this historic church has burned. So please hold that congregation and hold their pastor, Jeff, in your heart. He is brokenhearted this morning. They are brokenhearted. Really a tragedy. And they're not sure how it happened. They do not suspect arson. They had a memorial service there yesterday afternoon late, and, you know, my deepest fear is that something got left on.
Concern. If you could keep my father in your thoughts tomorrow, he will have a very major surgery. It's called the Whipple, to remove a tumor in his pancreas. It's a very difficult surgery. He already underwent chemotherapy and just about killed him. And so we're hoping that this will be a successful procedure, and that he'll be able to recover. Thank you.
I'm Jerry. Esther and I like to light a candle of concern for our daughter who lives in Wauwatosa. She's suffering for many years of depression. She had a very bad episode this weekend. We're very concerned about her.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those concerns that we hold deeply, but which we have not voiced here today.
We are going to listen to our first reading today. It's a poem called Blessing, written by poet John O'Donohue for his mother Josie, and read by musician Roy Arbuckle. The words are written in your order of service so that you can follow along.
On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the grey window and the ghost of loss gets into you, may a flock of colours, red, green, indigo, and azure blue, come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. And when the canvas frays in the curl of thought and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow moonlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of the earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the ocean be yours. And may the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so, may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mind your life.
The first reading. Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of continued prayer.
The second reading today is a poem by American writer James Lansdowne. The poem is called Blueberries. I'm talking to you, old man. Listen to me as you step inside this garden to fill a breakfast bowl with blueberries ripened on the bushes I'm planting now, 20 years back from where you're standing. It's strictly a long-term project. First year, pull off the blossoms before they open. Second year, let them flower. Watch the bees bobbing every bonnet, but don't touch the fruit till year three. And then only sample a handful or two. Old man, I'm doing this for you. You know what they say about blueberries. Blood cleansing, mood lifting, memory boosters. Every bush a little fountain of youth, sparkling with flavonoids and anthocyanin. I've spent all summer clearing brush, sawing locust poles for the frames, digging in mounds of pine needles, bales of peat moss. I thought I'd do it while I still could. Now you can do something for me in turn. Think about the things an old man should. Things I've shied away from. Last things. Care about them, only don't care to. You'll know better what I do, what I mean, or what I couldn't say but meant. Reconcile, forgive, repent, but don't go soft on me. Keep the faith, our infidel's implicit vow. Not the hereafter, but the here and now. Weigh your heart against the feather of truth as the Egyptians did, and purge its sin. But for your own sake, not your soul's, and since the only certain eternity's the one that's stretched backward, look for it here inside this garden. Blue ray, blue crop, blue etta, hearty blue, little fat droplets of transubstantiant sky, each in its yeast-misted wineskin, chilled in dew. This was your labor. These are the fruits thereof. Fill up your bowl, old man, and bring them in. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
This week's was a challenging sermon for a lot of reasons. We have lost two members of the congregation over recent weeks, and we still are at the edges of sadness and change with that. The subject itself is interesting, Ostara, the pagan holiday, the wheel of the year turning. There's a terrible tendency in some UU ministers to take Google, add a prayer to the end and a prayer to the other end, put a story in the middle and call it a sermon. And that's easy to do about holidays like this where you hit them every year. But there's a little more to it than that. A little more to the turning. In 1998, a band named Semisonic, who no one has ever heard of again, released a song called Closing Time. The song was forgettable. Nobody really cared while it was playing. Made it up the charts a little bit. But one of the lines hit me hard. Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Endings and beginnings are two points on an endless wheel, each one unable to exist in the other's absence. And while they may seem easy to pinpoint, somehow they just slide away when you try to get closer. There are no easy stops, no easy starts. In real life, there's no moment that you can pinpoint where the episode begins. Books and movies make it work well. The story begins with a birth, a death, a celebration, a revelation. Something new has happened. It's the beginning. If all else fails, they give you, let's start with the arrival of adolescence. They end with a leaving, another death, a neat wrapping up of 100 threads in one perfect 30-minute or 2-hour little package. Because we all know that's how life goes, right? 2 commercial breaks, 2 more, you got it all solved. At the end of Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer, he closes perfectly, saying, so endeth this chronicle, it being strictly the history of a boy, it must stop here. The story could not go much further without becoming the history of a man. When one writes a novel about grown people, he knows exactly where to stop, that is, with marriage. But when he writes of juveniles, he must stop where best can. It would be nice if the real world came with commercial breaks and chapter endings and neat places to begin and end. We're born in the middle of a story. We exist. We exit long before the neat end point. And in between, we stop and start and stop and start and stutter and wander through chapter after chapter. It's not even just our story. We don't even get that. It's a shared story. And every stop, start, stutter, trip, fall impacts not only ourselves, but every other character. We are created of our own stops and starts and everyone else's. But in order for something to start, something else must end. Where it happens in time and space doesn't matter. These points are arbitrary. The wheel of the year is a great example of this and a greater metaphor. On paper, it's very logical. The wheel of the year was a way to tell time before clocks and calendars were a major feature of daily living. You took a year, you divided it into 4 quadrants. You called them spring, summer, winter, fall, the local equivalent, didn't matter. Winter and summer solstices bisected the year at top and bottom, 12 and 6 on the clock face, the longest and shortest days. Spring and fall equinoxes happened at 9 and 3. They were the days when dark and light were equal. And this really mattered in places like Wisconsin here, where the first day of actual spring might involve the bluebirds freezing out in the snow. If you didn't have a calendar, you couldn't tell unless you had something to decide was the arbitrary starting point. If your definition involved what the weather was doing and words like getting warmer, you're just out of luck. Or you would have been celebrating spring sometime in mid-May, which often happened. So an arbitrary point, how much light is present, was selected, and yay, we could all celebrate about the same time every year. A good chunk of people still got it wrong and celebrated a day earlier, a day late, but it was okay. Ostara is the pagan holiday which falls in the spring equinox, the day when light and dark are equal, but we are trending toward the light. It was a day to let go of the darkness of winter and embrace the fertility of spring. There's a wonderful book written for adolescents, and if you have not read it, I would tell you, read them. Read the whole little series. The book is called Wintersmith, and it is a Terry Pratchett. For children, it's the story of a young witch growing to be an adolescent and an adult. For adults reading it, it's the story of how you live your values. Pratchett tells the story of the witch named Tiffany who caught the attention of the spirit of winter, the Wintersmith. Because the Wintersmith fell in love with the young witch, he refused to leave. And what Tiffany originally saw as something harmless suddenly began to give her nightmares of a land locked forever in snow, unchanging. At one point, she begins to argue because she originally cannot understand why anyone would dance to welcome the coming of the winter. An older witch named Miss Treason loses her patience and says, "The year is round. The wheel of the world must spin. That's why up here they dance the dark morris, the dark dance, to balance it. They welcome the winter because there is a new summer deep inside of it. At Ostara, we dance to welcome the spring. We celebrate the Lord of Ice and the Spring Lady or Green Goddess as they change places. And to misquote Pratchett, we dance to welcome the spring because we see the winter deep inside it. We dance to let go because every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. A friend of mine, who I will call Kim because that is not her real name, recently learned this in a way that could have been horrific. She is a minister and she writes a very funny blog. But this story in reality was not funny at all. Kim and her family went skiing on a rather large mountain in Canada. And she had never skied before, though the rest of her family had. And everything was a little new to her. And she's a little hyperactive. All right, she's a lot hyperactive. This is the minister who began the tradition of ministers taking trapeze classes, and I am not kidding, as part of formation. When it came to the ski lift, though, she thought she had it down pat. After all, she'd ridden lifts many times. All of us have, or most of us have. So she and her 10-year-old got in the lift together, and it started up. She'd never ridden with skis on her feet, and she'd never ridden in this kind of cold. And something went a little wrong. She shifted, or he shifted, and she slid, and then he slid, and suddenly he was gone. He had slid off the edge of the lift. Kim is fast. I have seen her on the trapeze. She is very fast. And she managed to grab the sleeve of his coat as he fell. So there they were, him dangling from the lift, held only by his mother's grip on his sleeve. And there she was, holding with one clenched fist. And she realized almost immediately that she had absolutely no leverage. And there was no way she could pull him back in, no matter what she did. There was nothing she could do. She looked up and saw that in 5 seconds they would be 20 feet in the air. She looked ahead and realized there was no way she could hold this young man dangling until they reached the other end. Her arm was already giving out. She took a deep breath and she dropped him. Deliberately. She dropped her 10-year-old child off the ski lift. She watched him hit the snow and then get up and brush everything off and walk back. She saw him get on the next lift that he could possibly get on. The ride took her 10 minutes and she sobbed the whole way over to the other side. She stood there and waited for him. And when he got to the other side, he jumped off and called out exuberantly, "Hey, Mom, I fell off a ski lift." When you write about this and when you preach about this, make sure you tell everybody it was me. I fell off the ski lift. And it was cool. Sometimes letting go is the only way forward. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 in the Christian New Testament, says exactly the same thing in a totally different way. It says, to everything there's a season. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Time to kill. Time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up and a time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn, a time to dance. Time to throw rocks. Time to pick the rocks up. Time to hug and a time to walk away. A time to get and a time to let it go. Time to keep it all and a time to throw it away. Time to rip it up. Time to sew it up. A time to shut up. A time to speak truth. Time to love and a time to express your hatred. Time of war and a time to fight for peace. How many things have you hated to let go in your life? How many sleeves have you gripped tighter and tighter, feeling the slide under your fingers, knowing you weren't strong enough to keep holding on to it, knowing that you couldn't make it to the other side? How many times have you been unable to let go? So you held on for so long that when the fall came, it was from 20 feet or 30 feet or 150 feet. And instead of hitting the powdered snow, it smashed and you couldn't fix it again. How many times have you been unable to let go? No wheel can turn if it's anchored to the ground. No wheel will keep turning if it's mired in the mud or if it's unbalanced. It'll just wear away on one side. Ostara is the time of year to dance in celebration of the coming spring. It's also time to examine, what do you need to let go? What is dangling helplessly from you, slipping away? What's gone past its season? Old hatreds, old grudges, let it go. Drop it. The eating habits from when you were 10 years younger that make you sick now, you can't eat that anymore. Let it go. The eating disorder, the addiction, let it go. The friendship that does you more harm than good, that has changed and morphed into something you never wanted, let it go. Let go of the stuck places. Let go of the relationship that tears you down rather than builds you up. Let it go. Let go of any anchors on that wheel that you should have passed up a long time ago. Let go of the practices and theologies that aren't you anymore and you don't remember when they were last. Let them go. Let go of the mistakes you made once and that you've been dragging around ever since, ashamed. Let it go. Let go of the pain from when others tried to tell you who you were. You know who you are. Let it go. And when you have done all that, begin with the harder things. The things where their time has come. Let go of the things that you love dearly. But it is simply time to let go of the sleeve. Wave goodbye to your little one as they go off to camp for the first time, but let them go. Say goodbye to your college-age child as they go to their first dorm, but let them go. Hug goodbye to your newly married child as they leave for their honeymoon, and let them go. Cry goodbye as your elderly parent enters an assisted living facility. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Nothing stays the same, and the wheel must turn. Ten years ago, a dear friend lost her young husband way too soon, and she held on to who he was with both hands. Where before his death, she was her and he was him, after his death, she became Dave's widow. Full stop. She introduced herself that way. Hi, I'm Dave's widow, Anne. And she stayed Dave's widow. And something odd started to happen. She dragged his memory with her through every moment of every day. And she worked to keep it right there. And slowly it began to change shape from all of that dragging. It lost its edges. It became smooth and polished. The Dave we knew wasn't polished. He sang like an angel and ate like a pig and he burped way too loud. He wore deliberately weird clothing in strange ways, ate with his fingers when he shouldn't have, and once used two bread wrappers to tie his hair back in ponytails. That was Dave. Wasn't smooth. The Dave she was holding on to after 10 years had become a saint. Lost all of the pieces that made him real, all of the unique bits that captured his fragile humanity. It was a caricature. As she fought to keep that wheel from moving on. Let go of your perfect memories. Remember the good and the bad and the dark and the light. It's okay. Let the wheel turn. The wisdom of the earth-centered religions tells us there is a cycle. A time of light, a time of dark, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. It tells us that spring is coming. Celebrate the new, end the dark. Walt Disney and Frozen tell us to let us go. And who am I to argue with the Disney cartoon and a bunch of druids? Blessed Ostara. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Amen.
The light dies and is born again. Welcome to the birth of spring. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 1021 in the Teal Book, Lean on Me, and we'll repeat the chorus at the end.
Return again, wiser and more foolish, happier and sadder, more able to give and more willing to receive. Peace, and may it ever be so.
Thank you.